I'd like to call the regular meeting of council to order April 12th at 7 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz.
Here.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
And Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
The first order of business this evening is the disposition of the journal for the regular council meeting minutes of February 22nd. And also the regular council meeting minutes of March 8th.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Move to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of February 22nd, 2018.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of February 22nd. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Vicki?
Fellows.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hollum.
Abstain.
It's got to be Hollum first. Sorry. Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The regular council meeting minutes of February 22nd have been adopted.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of March 8, 2018.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt the regular council meeting minutes of March 8th. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Vicki?
Hollum.
Abstain.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Abstain.
The council meeting minutes of March 8th have been adopted. The next order of business is correspondence.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to override the mayor's veto on ordinance number 2018-19.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to override the veto on motion ordinance number 2018-19. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Vicki?
Hollum.
No.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The motion to override the mayor's veto on ordinance 2018-19 has passed.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to override the mayor's veto on ordinance number 2018-21.
Seconds.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Lenz to override the mayor's veto on ordinance number 2018-21. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President.
Councilman Hallam.
Restate. I'm not going to go through them all, but I stated my concerns at the special, so I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Vicki?
Hallam.
No.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The motion to override the mayor's veto on 2018-21 is passed. The next order of business is the finance director's report. Mr. Berkachek?
No report tonight.
Are there any questions for the finance director this evening?
Madam President and Mr. Berkachek, how are you this evening?
I'm very well.
Were you able to get the budget submitted to the county and all those?
The budget was submitted on a timely basis. The county certified the appropriation on the 5th prior to the council meeting. There was no confusion regarding the vetoes.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Berkachek this evening? Mr. DeFranco?
Thank you. No report tonight.
Are there any questions for the city engineer this evening? You're thinking.
Madam President, just to share what I was thinking, we discussed just prior to the meeting Stark Drive and a fence that's there, that's the church's property, and I asked Mr. DeFranco to revisit that, and I'm going to also talk with our fire chief about that and see if there's something we can do to beautify that area a little bit, as expressed by some of our residents on that street. So that's what I was talking with him about just prior. Thank you.
If there are no other questions for the finance director and the city engineer, if I have no objections, I would like to excuse them if they'd like to be excused for the rest of the meeting.
I'll stay.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Moving on, we have committee reports. And Councilman Fiebig, do you want to touch base on planning and zoning?
Madam President, thank you. Yes, I will mention there was an active Planning and Zoning and Architectural Review Board meeting last Thursday where there were actually two new houses were approved, one on Chardon Road and one on Milan. And the steel building will be constructed that will house a basketball court at the new fitness facility at the old Office Max. So we're looking forward to seeing a business there that will add some benefit to the city. So that's going to be, I believe that's called Aspire Fitness. And we're looking forward to working with them to make that. So that was approved as well. In the cell tower issue for the Miller Road property, they did come back and ask us for an extension of time. They have approximately a year to complete that because of some things that needed to line up with other approvals. They did ask for an extension, so we granted them. They asked for six. Well, we were first thinking 6 months, but they asked for a year, 12 months, so we did grant that 12-month extension, but they are moving forward with all due diligence to get a cell tower on our city-owned 8 acres of property in West Miller. The other topic of some discussion and some concern from residents was the plasma donation center that was proposed in the building that's housed where the Marks is and where the LaSalle Furniture is. So there was quite a bit of discussion about that. What happened ultimately, though, was referred to the Planning and Zoning Committee of Council, so we can review the zoning code, because this particular type of business doesn't fit exactly into our B2 zoning. So we're going to have to review that, and I do plan to hold. I've touched base with one or so of my committee members, but we'll need to plan a meeting, and we'll discuss it in greater detail to see if what we will recommend to the Planning Commission, whether they should approve it or not.
Thank you. Any questions for Councilman Fiebig on anything from planning and zoning? The next would be recreation. Mr. Hallam, you want to touch base on
sure.
the meeting?
Yeah, thank you. So we held a meeting just before this meeting tonight at 6 p.m. Mrs. Fellows and Councilwoman Fellows and Councilwoman Michael were present, as well as Gloria Majeski, Tom Elliott were also there. And we were discussing the Boys League MOU, which is an agreement between the City of Willoughby Hills and the Boys League that runs all but currently runs all except for girls softball in the city. And there's an agreement that has been in place with them that involves some financial aspects of collection of funds, as well as the responsibilities for who's responsible for uniforms and ref fees and all those kind of things, as well as, most importantly to them, was the background checks of coaches that are going to be watching, over our kids, as well as insurance for if someone was to get injured while participating in the sports. So Tom Elliott gave us a great overview of the kind of the history of it, and basically what they've done in the new MOU is they've taken all financial responsibility out of the city's hands because they want to be able to move more towards electronic means, and the city's not comfortable with having our accounts tied to some service that does electronic payments. So they said, look, we'll take care of all of the payments, although they wanted us to at least be able to collect registrations and perhaps, checks that are made out to the Boys League or whatever I think they might be changing their name a little bit. So that was the crux of it, as well as obviously making sure that we were still going to be able to cover them insurance-wise for when people are on the fields, as well as the background check. Those were the two main things. Councilwoman Fellows asked about whether there other cities around us had similar groups that handled the sports. The Tom Elliott mentioned that Richmond Heights, Mayfield, Lyndhurst, Wickliffe, Willowick, most of the communities around us do have some similar setup. And the second question was, you know, how do they handle their insurance? Is it similar to how we're doing it, or is there something different in how they're handling? So we're going to look into that because they didn't really know the answer. Also, the concern over the fact that we currently do not have a law director, so reviewing of the applications that come back from BCI, where in the past we were able to have a law director review those, we wouldn't have that. However, I mentioned to Councilwoman Fellows and Councilwoman Micah after the meeting, I spoke to Tom Elliott, and he realized that after the fact that really a law director only comes into play if it comes back as a red flag. So their opinion was, you know, if they do get somebody who comes back as red, they just, and as long as we don't have a law director, it just won't be able to be reviewed, and they won't be able to allow that person to coach. As long as it comes back green, it wouldn't be an issue. So I think we got around that hurdle at the moment. However, we still need to look into the insurance and whether that's what everybody else is doing or if there's some other way that that's being handled. We opened public portion at 6:26. No one came forward. It was closed again, and the committee suggested that we leave this on third reading until we can get answers. At this point, in my opinion, unless you guys disagree with me, until we can get an answer as to how other communities are handling the coverage of insurance with their sports groups. And then when the meeting closed at 6:27 p.m., and I stand open to any questions.
Thank you, Councilman Hallam. Are there any questions for the councilman on the memorandum of understanding for the Boys League? Seeing none. So we'll move on.
Madam President? I have a new member of personal relations I'd like to nominate or appoint. The original members of the committee, personal relations committee that I chair, were resident Chris Delaney, resident Greg McCarthy, resident Laura Lenz, but now Laura Lenz is now a councilwoman, so we now have an opening for a resident member of personal relations, and I would like to make a motion to appoint resident Kathy Strangcar as the newest member of the personnel relations committee.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to appoint Kathy Strangcar to the Personal Relations Committee. Are there any discussion on that motion or any questions? Seeing none. Vicki?
Hallam.
Abstain.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Kathy Strangcar has been appointed to the Personal Relations Committee, and so we welcome her to that committee.
Congratulations.
Additional information about personal relations. So the mayor had sent memos to council requesting salary increases on the fire chief and also on the road supervisor. So that information will go to the Personal Relations Committee and or finance. And then their recommendation, they'll review it, discuss it, and make recommendations to council, which will then come into rules. And then at that point, it will be put on the agenda, and we'll see what we're going to do moving forward with those recommendations.
Madam President?
Yes.
You said fire chief. I think you meant police chief.
Oh, police chief. Thank you.
No problem.
Any other information or questions or concerns about committees? And are there any other council representative reports?
Madam President?
Vice President Pleshnik.
The Cuyahoga County Airport Noise Abatement Council met 10 a.m. earlier today for its quarterly meeting in April. And as your representative to the Noise Abatement Council, I want to share that there were 18 aircraft complaints for the first quarter of the year, 14 of which were from Willoughby Hills. If we look at the total operations, there was 4,142 aircraft operations for the quarter, which was down somewhat from the 5,000 operations in the first quarter of last year. And if we compare once again the last full year of 2017, there was 19,951 operations versus 43,104 in 2010. So we see a more than half decline over that period. There was a significant spike in reported and unreported complaints regarding jet engine maintenance run-up tests. And for those of you who aren't familiar, that's when they're either testing an engine in a plane or one that they're working on, and they're literally running it while it's on the ground, sometimes for a sustained period of time. So you don't hear it for just a few minutes. It might go for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. So it can be a little bit more intrusive than a takeoff or a landing. We had a lot of those complaints in December, and both Councilwoman Kathy Murphy of Highland Heights, who serves as their representative, and I raised the issue, and I think we saw a pretty substantial decline in both reported and unreported complaints since the last meeting. So I certainly, you know, give thanks to the operators and tenants who heard our concerns and were responsive to residents. We did get an update on the joint statement, which sets our relationship with the airport that's adopted by both the surrounding cities and Cuyahoga County. The amendment that allows for turnoffs and safety issues of single-engine planes, only allowing them to turn away if safety requires it, did pass Cuyahoga County Council and was signed by the county executive, so it's going to be coming to Willoughby Hills City Council as well as Highland Heights and Richmond Heights in the near future. We were not given copies of it at the meeting, but we're promised that we'll be provided it soon, and I will forward it to the rest of council and the mayor as soon as it's in my possession. But I'm told that aside from housekeeping issues of changing the signatures, going from county commissioners to county council and so on and so forth, the only change was what the council had recommended, to add the language that single-engine aircraft to be allowed earlier turnout as required for safe operations and to afford minimum separation from higher-performance aircraft. As I've noted in the past, federal law already requires this, so I'm not sure this change was necessary, and I did not vote for it as a member of the council, but I don't think it precludes us from continuing to work with the airport and adopting the agreement, because I don't view requiring turnouts for safety, which is already in federal law, as changing the agreement substantively. But I'll certainly keep you posted, and as soon as I have a copy, I'll share it. This is what was represented to me. I haven't had the opportunity to read the agreement myself. We got a brief construction update on the airport. As you know, phases 3 and 4 to install the EMAS, which is the engineered material, the soft concrete on either end of the strip, is now one stage that's going to be performed this year. Construction's already begun, and it's scheduled to be finished in September. We were told that we should expect to see a lot of heavy dirt work in the next couple of weeks. In particular, a lot of dirt will be hauled out of the airport and up and down, I don't know, Bishop Road. So we may see some dirt trucks going by. It probably is hauling dirt off the work site over the next couple weeks. But they say that construction is on schedule, and we should expect to see it done in September. We haven't had an airport manager since Monica Drake briefly served and resigned from that position last year. And frankly, there were some years where there were no airport manager prior to her brief appointment. But we were told that an airport manager should be hired by May. So I'll update you as to who that person is if the hire goes through. And lastly, our next scheduled meeting for the Airport Noise Abatement Council is July 2nd at 10 a.m., as always, at the airport, as always, open to the public, which includes public portion as well. So I certainly encourage you to join with us. The only other thing that I would share is one of the airport operators, one of the tenants, had mentioned that a lot of the noise complaints are due to one particular operator, one company. I won't share their name because I don't know if it's true that they really were responsible, but they are freight carrier, and apparently they're permanently relocating that to the Akron area. So if that's true, we might, emphasis on the word might, result in some less noise going forward. I stand open to questions.
Thank you, Vice President Pleshnik. Any questions for him concerning his report?
Madam President, was there any discussion about the loaded trucks going up and down Bishop, because they're not really supposed to have loaded trucks driving on that road?
There was not discussion along those lines, but we've certainly seen them do it in the past.
Right. So is there something we should be having a conversation with someone there to make sure they understand that, as far as the construction company or whoever's handling that?
I think the best thing to do is, as a resident, if you see one of these trucks, because they've already been informed of these limits, to report it to the police department, because frankly they should be ticketed. And if someone is ticketed, that will change behavior, but they have been informed of what the limits and the weight limits are in our roads in the past.
Thank you. The next order of business is public portion. Public portion is an opportunity for individuals to come forth and share their thoughts and opinions. We ask that you keep your opinions and thoughts to 3 minutes. Please state your name and your address when you come forth, and I will open public portion at 7:20 p.m.
Sorry to keep you. This is Jenna Bing, 36951 Beach Hills Drive. But I wanted, he might be able to answer at the end of public portion. I don't know. Do we own the bridge on Eagle that crosses the river, or is that Wade Hills? Because I drove across it the other day. I hadn't been across it for a while, and it really looked bad. And I thought, oh, gosh, do we have another bridge problem, or does Wade Hill have another bridge problem? Because they got two bridge problems going on right now. So I just wanted to raise that and find out who really owns that and who's really responsible. The sign of the border is further away, so I was concerned it's ours, and then in which case then is somebody looking at it? And do we have a plan for our bridges to be looked at on a regular basis? Thank you.
Thanks, Jenna. Mr. Nicktine?
Yes, ma'am. Dave Nicktine, 35771 Maple Grove Road, a proud 1960 graduate of John Carroll University. Public portion. All meetings shall provide a reasonable opportunity to hear public opinion. Don't be intimidated by Nancy Fellows, council members, and members of the audience. Nancy, at the March 29th council meeting, you attempted to silence me and permitted council members Fabig and Plechnik and audience members to harass me and other speakers. After the meeting, a well-respected member of the Charter Review Committee of Willoughby Hills expressed his dissatisfaction to you on council's actions. You replied, if you don't like it, move out of the city. Is the pressure too much for you? Remember what Harry Truman said? If you can't stand the heat in the kitchen, get out. Dale Fellows, Lake County Republican chairman, made a sarcastic comment about my being a 33-year resident. My wife and I intend to remain residents of Willoughby Hills. We didn't purchase property recently in Williamsburg, Virginia. Did you? Plechnik, you sent emails referring to religious holy days and holidays seeking votes. You made reference to your Palm Sunday budget edict with a smirk on your face. To me, that's religious sarcasm. You and Gorjance Pismo use Slovenian backgrounds to divide our city. By the way, Mr. Plechnik, your name is misspelled on the March 29th, April 5th council meeting agenda. Vicky Savage is making $41,000 a year for a part-time job, plus benefits. Reduce her salary to help the supposed budget crisis. Mr. Fiebig, at the March 29th council meeting, you ask if I was running for office. The answer is no. I'm not a politician. I support candidates who are honest, intelligent, who have integrity. They are in favor of increasing the number of firefighters in Willoughby Hills and are willing to pay for their sleeping on company time. We need council people who don't demean and denigrate Mayor Wager, Gloria Majewski, Tom Luby,
your time
Germano,
is up.
Mike
Mr.
Germano,
Nicktine, your
Jennifer
time is up.
Greer,
everybody has defense. The same amount of time, and
we
your time is up.
We need council people who represent the citizens of Willoughby Hills.
Mr. Nicktine, your time is completed. Everybody
objectives.
Has the same amount of time.
Listen to Councilman Hallam's videos and comments on Willoughby Hills Voice and Community page. He speaks the truth.
Such a shame.
Thank you.
My turn now. Doris Catherine Dodge.
Wait a minute, Doris.
She's got to be set.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Doris Catherine Dodge, 37881 Milan Drive, Willoughby Hills. Proud member, class of 1969, Huron Road Hospital School of Nursing. Concerning the balanced budget, across the nation, businesses have been forced to cut expenses. Citing examples in a workplace known to me personally, a meeting was held several years ago to explain the necessity to cut expenses. Job consolidation had to be done in all areas. There was an adjustment period, but now one person is a secretary, receptionist, and purchasing agent. Three jobs into one. Overtime was eliminated. Hours were cut. The reality was work with less and do more in your jobs, or the entity would cease to exist and there would be no jobs at all. In the news just today, the Plain Dealer is forced to make cuts. It's a universal occurrence. Willoughby Hills is no exception. For far too long, the taxpayers have footed the bill for things that have put us in the financial situation the city faces today. For example, a car for the mayor and gas allowance. His salary of $50,000 a year does not seem out of line. But when you compare his salary of $50,000 per year to his secretary's salary of over $65,000 a year, plus benefits totaling around $100,000, per year, something is wrong. This is a perfect example of the need for job consolidation and elimination. Last week, I watched the council meeting on TV, and Mr. Hallam brought up an excellent point, and I thank him for this. He stated that Willoughby Hills no longer got the state funding that it once had. This statement alone supports the need for cutting expenses. We don't want a deficit budget. We want a balanced budget. Don't spend more than you take in. Again, in my workplace, I know of two people with children in college. I certainly will give up some of my hours because I understand the costs of college. In turn, if someone needs a day off or vacation or any other shortage, I will gladly do this for them. This is respectful to my coworkers and to my employer. We all work together. We do more for less. So, in closing, ask not what your city can do for you personally with cars and bonuses, perks, etc. Ask what you can do for your city. And this would be to maintain a balanced budget, hires for police and fire, safe, paved, and plowed roads. If I have an emergency, a policeman or the fire department will respond. Not secretarial staff will come to my rescue. Put the money where it's needed most, police, fire, and roads. And thank you, council, for doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doris. Anybody else for public portion this evening? Mr. Miller.
Thank you so much. My name is Tony Miller, and I live at 2857 Hayes Drive. I would like to address the mayor's town hall meeting and give a perspective that wasn't shared in this council. The view that was shared in this council was rather negative, particularly regarding the last part, the question and answer period. During that time, I heard and witnessed citizens voicing their opinions and their concerns in a very passionate way and without fear of being gaveled. And sometimes they spoke things that maybe weren't politically correct. I get that. Politically correctness is sometimes overrated today. Technology, gotta love it. As far as the council members that were there, that was a time for the department heads to give their reports of what happened last year and what happened this year. It wasn't a time for council members, and that's why they weren't invited personally to come and speak. You were invited as citizens, just like me, and some of you showed up. As for some of you that were there and had some rather maybe unpleasant experiences, I can only speak for one incident that I was involved in, and I said nothing to a council person until they asked a question out loud, and then I gave her my opinion, and I felt like we had an okay conversation. I'm not saying it was, from her perspective, a great one, but we had an okay conversation. But for the rest of you, whoever was there, I'm going to go along with the gentleman that was up first, and he said, "If that's the stage you're on, if you can't take the heat, get out of the fire. It's going to happen." Mr. Fiebig, I believe you owe Ms. Majeski, Gloria Majeski, an apology. It seems that the night that I had my outburst out in the back of the council room here, seems that you sent out an email, which I got a copy of. It's public record. And in part, Mr. Fiebig writes, "A certain employee seems to incite people to disrupt council meetings as well as speak out from the back row," end quote. I have the whole thing if you want to look at it. If it's not evident by now, I most certainly do not need any help in
that regard.
Thank you,
Mr. Miller. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Linda?
Too many tall people here. Linda Fulton, 2990 Markham Boulevard. I think we need more respect in this building. It's uncalled for. Mr. Hallam, at the last meeting, you blamed the budget issues on less money from the state. And that is true. We have less money, as everybody else does, all the other cities. But you failed to mention that with the city tax increase of about 33% a few years ago, that was also something that should have gave the city approximately $1 million a year. And at that time, we had a lot more businesses in Willoughby Hills. And I would like to ask you or Mr. Berkachek, where did that money go? Why do we seem to need money for safety forces when all that money was supposed to go there? You also failed to mention that the businesses that left the city, we have lost revenue from them. Eaton Corporation, Sam's Club, Office Max, Manhattan Deli, Sears, Viking Motorcycles, Burger King, Baker Square, Grandfather's Pizza, Zeppi's Pizza. Who else is left? I'm not sure too many. But this is all goes into the budget. We don't get the income anymore. So we have to do something to make the budget workable. You were once on the Economic Development Committee after Mr. Ray Samich. What happened to that? Did you do anything? Why are the office buildings at Route 6 and 91 half empty or mostly empty? Who in the city is working with these companies to make them stay, help them stay? It's just not right. You want to blame people. The other thing is, I think it's appalling and just very disrespectful of what you post on your page. How you blast council, the rest of your colleagues, is horrible. You should be ashamed of yourself. And I would not want you to represent me in the city anymore. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Anyone else? Dale?
Dale Fellows, 2812 Fowler Drive. And Mr. Nicotine, I didn't make a sarcastic comment towards you. I was just entertained by how many folks came up and gave their credentials. It had nothing to do with you. But for the record, I bought our property in 1982. So that's quite a few years ago. But I thought in reference to some postings in that regarding the lawsuit as far as who won, who lost, or whatever, I thought it interesting that there's a whole lot of missing components in what the ruling was. One was the two other cases, the Mr. Lobey and Mr. Germano, both of those lost. You no longer are able to have an acting director appointed by the mayor of any of the directors without council approval. That was something contrary to what Mr. Lobey had been saying for many years. And yes, now council can hire attorneys for specific situations, another contrary to Mr. Lobey's stance for many years. So who really lost? Well, it's really the city, because the mayor did not nominate a law director, one law director nomination in 7 months. I'm not sure how that becomes responsible governing when all of that trial, all of that money, all of that could have been alleviated by the mayor just exercising his authority within the charter and nominating somebody to your body that you could appoint. One person in 7 months is not responsible, and that person was voted down 7-0. I know, Mr. Helm, you voted against it. And you then talk about the building inspector. One nomination in 12 months now, and that's it. So when you don't have a mayor that's doing their job, you all were trying to fill that void courageously and correctly, and that's what you need to do. And I do hope you vote to appeal, because the decision that was made was irresponsible governance. Thank you.
Anyone else this evening? I will close public portion at 7:37 p.m. Mr. DeFranco, Jenna Bing had a question about the bridge on Eagle Road for unfinished business.
Right. The Eagle Road Bridge over the Chagrin River is a responsibility of the county. They take care of the major repairs. The city's responsible for minor things like pavement markings and guardrail, but anything major is the county's. And all bridges 10 feet or longer are inspected on an annual basis, and reports are provided to ODOT. And there's actually a website where you can view the report.
Thank you. Anything else for unfinished business?
Madam President, if I could say, I want to second the sentiment that there needs to be more respect in this chambers and in city meetings generally. I understand that passion is a very real factor, but none of us are famous here. No one knows when someone has an episode or gets overly excited whether their intentions are purely to debate or to do more. And it can be very disconcerting to children. It can be very disconcerting to family members. It can be very disconcerting to anyone to see that. So I don't deny that someone may be approaching something in good faith with a true fury of pure passion, but that can be very frightening to people. And it's important that everyone feels safe to share their opinions, even if they're very different and may even be controversial or disliked by some of us in this room. But they have the right to share them and to feel safe doing it. I can tell you that one of the gentlemen who got up and spoke today actually at the polls last year screamed at my mother. And I don't think he realizes how much he frightened her, how much he hurt her, and how it still stays with her and my family to this day. I don't believe that he meant it in bad faith. I'm sure he passionately thought he was doing the right thing by yelling at a person who was campaigning for someone or something he didn't believe in. But it's not right,
and it's not good for our community. We talk so much about the long history of controversy in Willoughby Hills. The only way we move past it is if we're better than that history. And there are those of us who've done our best to listen even when the other side is disrespectful, and there are those who just say, well, I'm right, so I'll say it louder. And I find it unfortunate. I think that there are many people here who are trying to do what they think is right, but are only accomplishing controversy and fear, and it's not good for our city, and it frankly doesn't get your point across in a way that will ever pass it into law, get your friends elected. When someone gets up and is frightening, the people they support lose votes. They don't get them. So I would say if you really care about someone and you want to help them, be respectful, be kind, share your point, disagree, criticize, but be fair, be calm, and control yourself. Because when you don't, you hurt your whole community. Thank you.
Councilman Phoebe.
Well said. Just to clear up a point that was made, because I couldn't just let it hang out there, our clerk does not get benefits, and I think the salary number was also misstated. So I just, you know, these are all public records, but I didn't want people to think for a second that our clerk is somehow overpaid or whatever. She does a great job, and I know all of us on council are very happy with the work that she does, and I think she's underpaid, frankly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President, I just want to speak again about the political discourse in our city. You know, it's one thing when you're sitting in your living room and you're watching a debate or something and you're screaming at the TV because, you know, the person you support for president is, you know, beating up the other person that you don't support for president. You know, it's easy to yell at your TV. But when it's a city, you know, when people say these things about, you know, our local politicians, you know, we're someone's neighbor, we're someone's friend, or someone's mother, or someone's wife, or husband, or spouse, or whatever, you know. And so, you know, these insults aren't just, you know, at the politicians. These are at people that we all know and love and care about, or, you know, that live down the street from us, or down the street from our friends, or our kids go to school together. You know, it's not good for our city. You know, these personal attacks, this just, you know, lack of substance in our conversations about our city government and the issues that we all face is just really hurtful to our city, and it's not helping us move forward. I'm always happy to have a conversation with a resident who disagrees with me. I'm happy to just discuss the substance of any issue, why I vote the way I vote, why I believe what I believe. I'm always happy to do that. But I won't stand for personal attacks. I won't be bullied, and I won't be intimidated. And I won't let anyone of my colleagues be bullied or intimidated, and I certainly won't let my children into any environment where that might happen. So thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Next order of business is legislation. The first one is ordinance number 2018-5. Vicki, will you read the caption, please?
An ordinance to approve a memorandum of understanding with the Willoughby Hills Boys League in order to provide sports programs for the youth residents of Willoughby Hills and declaring an emergency.
This will stay on third reading. The next is ordinance number 2018-22.
An ordinance to employ the services of Gregory Beck and Baker, Duplicar, Beck, Wiley, and Matthews to represent the city of Willoughby Hills in the appeal of the decision rendered in the complaint filed in Wager versus City of Willoughby Hills, Lake County Common Pleas Court, case number 17CV001758, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President, move to waive the three reading rule in ordinance number 2018-22 as amended.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to waive the three reading rule on ordinance 2018-22 as amended. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Hallam?
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Biebig?
Yes.
The three reading rule on ordinance 2018-22 as amended has been waived.
Madam President? Move to adopt ordinance number 2018-22 as amended.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Lenz to adopt ordinance number 2018-22 as amended. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President. Since this ruling came down from the trial court judge, there's been a lot of escalation in the rhetoric around suing our city related to the appointment of attorneys in any capacity. And I just wanted to state for the record the legal justification for counsel being able to appoint attorneys for particular legal matters. So the City of Willoughby Hills Council may hire through ordinance outside counsel to represent the city's interests in any particular matter, suit, or controversy. In the case Cuyahoga Falls v. Robart, the Cuyahoga Falls City Council hired an outside attorney to sue the city over the mayor's actions, and the mayor argued the law director was the appropriate attorney to represent the city rather than outside counsel. In the Robart case, the Cuyahoga Falls Charter stated, quote, the law director shall be the legal advisor of an attorney and counsel for the city and for all offices and departments of the city in matters relating to their official duties. He shall prosecute or defend all suits for or in behalf of the city. The court in Robart held that the Cuyahoga Falls Council was not justified in hiring outside counsel in that particular case because, quote, when a city charter provides for representation of the city by its law director in all lawsuits, the city has no authority to provide for the hiring of outside counsel in place of the law director to act on behalf of the city in particular litigation unless the law director is ill, absent, or otherwise disqualified from acting. Robart's holding suggests the Willoughby Hills Council can hire outside counsel in this matter for 2018-22 and also 2018-21 because the law director is absent. There is no one currently in this position, and the city is engaged in particular litigation. Here, a suit brought against the city by Bob Wager in his individual capacity as a taxpayer. Additionally, in Section 4.32 of the Willoughby Hills Charter, it grants the City Council more authority over the legal affairs of the city than the Cuyahoga Falls Charter granted to the Cuyahoga Falls Council in Robart. Section 4.32 of the Willoughby Hills Charter states, quote, when required to do so by resolution of council, the law director shall prosecute or defend on behalf of the municipality all complaints, suits, and controversies in which the municipality is a party, and such other suits, matters, and controversies as he is directed to prosecute by resolution or ordinance. This provision arguably allows counsel through ordinance to order the law director, when present or qualified, to hire outside counsel to represent the city in any suit or controversy. But under Robart, it is clear that this council has the authority to hire outside counsel to defend the city's interest against Bob Wager's or any lawsuit if it chooses to.
Thank you, Councilwoman Bismo. Any other comments, discussions on the motion? Vicki, call the roll.
Hullum.
No.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Lesnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
The motion to adopt ordinance number 2018-22 has passed. The next is ordinance 2018-23.
An ordinance amending Part 9, Streets, Utilities, and Public Services Code, Title 3, Utilities, Chapter 925, Sewage System Regulations, Section 925.06, Fees, Subsection C, of Codified Ordinances of the City of Willoughby Hills, Ohio, and repealing any and all conflicting legislation.
So the City of Willoughby Hills is linked to Willoughby with certain sewer system regulations, and when the fees are changed in Willoughby, then we have to mirror that in Willoughby Hills. This is a protocol. We do this at least every year, or maybe sooner or a little later. It's something we have to do. There is actually no time frame on it from Willoughby, but if you want to just move the business forward, we can do that as well.
Madam President, seeing as this is something that we've seen before, and I don't think there would be any controversy or questions regarding this, I think we can feel comfortable in waiving three readings for this particular piece of legislation so that it can put in place the sister ordinance with the City of Willoughby. So without objection, I'd move to waive three readings on Ordinance 2018-23. Anyone?
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2018-23. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Hallam?
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
No.
Lesnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
The three reading rule has been waived on ordinance 2018-23. I just want to say that we can't change this. This is something that we have to do because of our sewer regulations aligned with the city of Willoughby. So the three reading rule has been waived.
Madam President, move to adopt ordinance 2018-23.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Fiebig and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt ordinance 2018-23. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I'd just like to ask the city engineer a question. Being that I do remember passing this before, and I read it again, and I'm noticing that it's Willoughby, meaning that just a small section of our businesses, some are businesses and maybe some are residences, are covered, correct? And which kind of general area are the ones affected by this ordinance?
Yeah, this is along Sound Center Road, just north of the freeway. So I think there's a BP gas station, I think the apartments.
Condos.
So nothing further up, nothing along Chardon, just down there near the interstate?
Correct.
Pretty much.
North of the interstate.
Okay. And so the fee schedule would only affect those ones that are in that Willoughby section. They wouldn't affect any other sewerage customers in any other areas of the city. Is that correct?
Correct. And,
okay.
I haven't read the ordinance, but I believe this only applies to contamination or chemicals that are typical of like industrial users. So if they exceed a certain limit, they're charged a penalty. So I don't think it would really come into effect. The question in my mind, though, is we do keep adopting this every year. I don't know why they keep changing it every year.
They fluctuate, and to be honest with you, this is about suspended solids, which include phosphorus and oil and grease of a water or a waste admitted to the system that exceeds the values of their constituents for normal sewage. And there's five different areas here, and they have all dropped in price, 54 cents to 34 cents per pound, 56 to 45 cents per pound, 32 cents to 18 cents per pound, 76 to 65, and 54 to 34. So we're actually voting on a decrease.
Well, that's good to know that they can decrease sometimes.
But you don't have a choice anyway.
But we don't have a choice anyway.
It's compliance.
It's compliance. Right. So we have a motion on the table to adopt. Any other questions or concerns? Vicki?
Hallam.
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Lesnick?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
The ordinance number 2018-23 has been adopted, so Vicki, you can share that with the city of Willoughby. Next order of business is new business. Is there any new business to bring to the table this evening? For the good of the order.
Madam President?
Vice President Hatchmaker.
May I ask, do we know why the mayor is not in attendance tonight?
I believe we all received the same email, just that he had another commitment.
While we don't all check our emails every 10 seconds, as has been pointed out in the past, but I can hardly imagine a more important commitment than coming to our council meeting, and I hope that the mayor will join us at the next.
For the good of the community?
Madam President, there were Cleveland Magazine came up with some area businesses, and they divided east and west. And best of the east, there were several businesses that were in the finalists for this award. They'll be having an event at LaMoffa, at Landerhaven, thank you, coming up this week, and the Lobster Pot, the local tavern, were nominated. The Right Place, Gale's Garden Center, the Dance Stop, Eddie's Bike Shop, Foster's Ice Cream, fitness instructor Jamie Mixon, and No Fat Birthdays. So there's a charitable run that was nominated. There were most of these businesses were, you know, these are businesses in the community. So I think it's just a good shout out to our local businesses that they're getting recognition on a larger scale, and it's good to support them as well, as we all do, as was brought up in public portion, how important our businesses are to our tax base, and it's vital that we continue to support them, and this was just an opportunity to recognize them. So thank you for bringing that up.
Madam President. Councilwoman Pismo, ahead.
Yeah. Madam President, I'd like to discuss Purses for a Purpose, which is our local elementary school, Edison Elementary's, their PTO's big fundraiser for the spring. And it is a with the price of a ticket, it's $45 per ticket. There's only a handful left. You get a automatic entry into a raffle for a designer purse and dinner and beer and wine. It's super fun. And like I said, there's only a handful left of tickets. But we're also looking, the Edison PTO is looking for volunteers to sell raffle tickets at the event. And if you're interested, you may contact Amy Schaum at 216-224-4711, or you can go to edisonpto.org for more information. And again, if you would like to get tickets, I would call her immediately because there's only a handful left. Thanks. April 20th at 6 o'clock.
Thank you. Councilman Hallam?
Thank you. Just a reminder that the annual School of Innovation here in Willoughby Hills, the fundraiser is at La Vera on April 13th. So if you want to go to that, please support the school. Also, our art gallery reception, we have one on May 11th. Also mark your calendars for June 9th. That's our Willoughby Hills Shred Day. So if you need to get rid of some important documents that need to have shredded, please mark that on your calendar. And then also for those of you who have young children, Safety Town is coming back in June. So if you want to get your children registered for that, please contact our recreation department. And lastly, just so everyone knows, those of you that go to softball, baseball games over at our fields may have noticed that we did not have any bleachers last year. The Recreation Commission did approve new bleachers to be installed that are going to be falling within our insurance requirements to be put out there so that our parents and grandparents have a more comfortable place to sit and watch their grandchildren and children watch play the baseball games over there. And I know that's in process. So hopefully for this season we'll have all of them installed. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Anyone else? I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plesnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to adjourn the meeting. There's no discussion on adjournment. Vicki, please call the roll.
Hallam.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plesnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Beebe.
Yes.
Meeting's adjourned at 7:58 p.m. Thank you, everybody.